Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
Boy, what an exciting intro we've had to the program this morning.
Mark, I'm Mark.
Guests in here.
Well, we had
Trek.
Two visitors,
Kevin Herr and Slade.
Right, both eggheads in one form or another, so we're glad they had a chance to stop by.
Yes, we are. And how are you this fine day, Mr. Lawrence? And who's bringing you this program?
Which answer do you want first?
Either one.
On the Mark's brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is now 104% wide open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565.
It was 105% open, but somebody who was thinking about calling
they decided
their
not
mind.
To. Right. I was going to call the show today. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you. We got an email related to white supremacy and has bad words in the transcription.
Bad words in it.
We can't say them all. Not specifically directed at us, but quoting a white supremacist who feels that whites rule. So we're going to read that on the radio. We also have Elizabeth Warren and Beto O'Rourke. I'll read this sentence. This is from State College. He says, there's a lot of wisdom in scrapping the Electoral College system because it puts some states out of play in presidential elections. He made the comments when he spoke at The Hub, which is the formerly small building in the middle of Penn State University, the Hetzel Union building, where I used to take naps during the long winter sunny periods. And he was there yesterday campaigning. But he's definitely on the right track.
Oh, no,
eliminating
he's not.
The Electoral College would be a great idea.
You are out of your mind.
Go to popular vote, one person.
But you are, Mark,
end
Mark,
of story.
Mark, you are at popular vote. The number of Electoral College votes a state gets depends on the number of congressmen they have, which is based on the population of the state, and
brother.
It's uniform across the country.
So you cannot apply a mathematical formula. Why don't you just say that if you're from a small state, you're three-fifths of a person? Why don't we go back to that? I think, honestly, it's a holdover
from
slavery.
You've got that wrong. The people who are making your argument are claiming that those small states are actually like 1.5 people compared to California,
right,
which would be three-fifths of a person in their view.
All right.
But it doesn't work out that way. Think about this. And you're a reasonable man. The population of the United States is a finite number. Not all of them lived equally distributed across the country. So some places have more people than others. But does that mean that they should have more of a say in who becomes the president?
I don't think a person is their state. If they are a person, they should have one vote, period. If they live in California, good for them. If they live in Delaware, that's too bad. One person, one vote. That's
you know
the way
what would happen if they canceled, let's say the Electoral College was gone. First of all, I love the fact that the Democrats and Beto O'Rourke are pushing this. They can't figure out how to win the Electoral College, so let's just get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's easier for us. We won't have to think about it.
How often do Democrats win the popular vote?
Well, there have been twice in my memory that they've done that.
This last year, and what was the other time?
Was when Rutherford B. Hayes ran and cut a deal.
There was one other time, I'm sure.
No, I think the last one before that was Hayes.
Okay.
No, there may have been somebody else. I may not be thinking of. I'm trying to think back through the elections. But none of them were close. I think
okay.
It was probably Hayes. But in
well,
any event,
I believe your history because you're an egghead.
Thank you. In any event, let's say that we got rid of it. So what would happen? Nobody would campaign in New Hampshire. Everybody would be campaigning in California.
No more Iowa.
New York City, right. There'd be no more Iowa. You know, so everybody would just be focusing on the issues in the big states that have the most votes, and they would be ignoring the rest of the country.
Beto O'Rourke would come on WKOK.
Well, no, I wouldn't think he'd be anywhere near us.
You think he'd just go to Philadelphia
and Pittsburgh? I think he'd be in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
And maybe Williamsport for 5 minutes if he had time.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that it would throw everything out of balance. And the framers of our Constitution were worried about that. They were worried about, okay, how do we keep everything in proportion? How do we make sure everybody gets a fair representation? And I think the Electoral College was pure genius on their part.
Well, we're going to have to debate this issue. I think I'm too dumb to know that one person, one vote is wrong, so we're going to let Joe. And I think Joe also knows the real history behind the Electoral College, and I think that would be interesting, how slave states were afraid that they'd be marginalized. And he'll explain how they overcome that. So we'll talk about that. So those are our topics. So those are kind of the things that popped up today, right? So
well, and the other thing the Democrats are starting to look at is packing the Supreme Court. They want more justices on the Supreme Court or term limits for them. Again, they don't like the way the Constitution worked out for them this time, so they want to change it. And yet they raise Cain when President Trump wants to do something, you know, like declare a national emergency and spend money somewhere else. FDR tried packing the court. There was a law passed called the National Recovery Act, and it was one of President Roosevelt's proposals to try and end the recession, or the Great Depression, if you will. And it was ruled to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. He was angry. He was furious about it. And he decided that he would pack the court. He would add more justices. I think he was talking about adding 5 more justices to the Supreme Court. And, of course, he controlled the legislature at that time, so the Democrats would have had no trouble appointing their own people to serve on the Supreme
Court.
But fortunately for the United States of America, even members of his own party were strongly opposed to it. You know, these are temporary solutions or permanent solutions to a temporary problem. You know, the Democrats are upset because the Republicans have the Supreme Court now, or the president is a Republican, he's appointing conservative justices to the Supreme Court. But what if Barack Obama were in now and in the same position? I can guarantee you the Democrats would not be pushing to pack the court. They would be satisfied that President Obama, when he had a vacancy, would fill it to their liking. And that's all this is. It's just another political ploy. If you can't get what you want one way, you get it another way. And I think the Democrats are not serving the country well when they talk about changing the Constitution in extraordinary ways. You want to change the Constitution, you propose an amendment. It gets proposed or passed by both sessions of two sessions of Congress with 75% of the vote. And then it gets sent to the states for ratification.
Well, I don't think it's not sour grapes as you described. This is a hope for a better country. That's why some of them are running for president. They're hoping for a fairer America where people's votes actually count for something and aren't discounted through some mathematical formula that was ideal centuries ago.
Are you hearing me?
Yes. Oh, I'm listening. But I'm just telling you what the truth is. So
well,
this
that's
is
not
why,
the truth.
No, this is why they're doing it. And they are very interested in making sure that we revert to a system where a person has a vote.
But they do have a vote. That's what I've tried to explain to you.
Right, I know. Right, you have a mathematical formula.
Would that I could take off the top of your head and pour this wisdom into it. It would be a lot easier to go through the rest of the program.
But here's the rub. Just because you feel strongly and can say it even more slowly the next time doesn't make it right. You can't just keep repeating it. You can't come up with a more sophisticated, slower spoken formula and still make it fair that people don't have one vote.
Everyone's vote is counted.
Right. No argument there after you go through the rubric. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and Joe is going to explain why we have an electoral college. And it goes all the way back to slave states feeling like their power is completely mitigated. So we're going to talk about that shortly here on WKOK. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. KOK.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Joe's boning up on history. He's good to go. We're going to talk about the Electoral College. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to elaborate, Democrats are smartly interested in neutralizing the unfair power of Republicans. Republicans, of course, as Joe is aptly demonstrating, would like to scratch and claw and keep that power.
Come on, the Republicans have no more power under the Electoral College than the Democrats
any
have, Mark.
Any circumstances at all whatsoever.
You know what happened? The Republicans, Pennsylvania went Republican in the last election. Had it gone Democratic, had Ohio gone Democratic, the result of the election would have matched, you know, the popular vote. Mm-hmm, but they didn't. They went Republican for a change, and that put Donald Trump in the White House.
Okay.
And that's, but that's not unfair. The Constitutional Convention of 1787, they considered a lot of different methods on how to elect the president. They were concerned about direct election for the same reason that they thought that if population centers were in one place, they would have a disproportionate amount of power in determining who the president was and in influencing the national debate on issues. So let's say New England was opposed to tariffs. You know, and they were a manufacturing economy. The South was an agrarian economy. You know, you had to find a way to balance these two. 1787 didn't have much to do with slavery. It had a lot more to do with an economic balance of power in the country and trying to maintain some leverage for the states, smaller states, to have some say in what happens in the country, which was eminently fair. I mean, there was one proposal to have the governors of the states elect the president.
Or which, Congress, sure.
But, you know, toward the end of the convention, toward the end of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, this was referred to a committee. The issue of how to elect the president was referred to a committee. They thought about it long and hard, and they came up with the Electoral College. And everyone said, oh, hey, that's a great idea. And with very few minor changes, it was what was written into the Constitution.
It's been controversial ever since.
No, it hasn't.
I'm sure it has.
It's only been controversial when whoever wins the popular vote doesn't win the electoral vote.
Right.
Oh, Al Gore and Mr. Bush, George Bush, may have been the third one.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, George H.W. Bush. I think Al Gore won the popular vote by a small amount, didn't he?
That sounds familiar, but
all I remember
not sure.
Is it hung on Florida and the Hanging Chads.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What's that, 2004?
2004, yep.
1-800-795-956. No, it would be George W.
George, yes, won. Not H.W.,
yeah.
George W.
Yeah, okay. George W. won that.
Or too many right. George Bushes.
No argument there. Finally, we agree. All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends us a note.
Says, I think Hillary won 5 or 6 counties.
The U.S. He doesn't say that, but that's
in the U.S.
important.
Which outnumber the rest of the country. Urban New York and Los Angeles would rule the land. No candidate would have to campaign anywhere else. And he's right.
Just New York and L.A.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. I'm strongly against the Electoral College because it's patently unfair. One vote, one person would be ideal. And a lot of Democratic candidates are now talking about it, including Elizabeth Warren and Beto O'Rourke. Joe, of course, thinks that the Electoral College is patently fair, and it was a genius formula that still works. And so, therefore, we should keep it. What do you say? Joe and I will never agree on this, despite the fact that he has literally unscrewed my head and poured the information in and put the top back on.
Well, but I hate to tell you, but it leaked out, and I won't say from
where. It went out my
where.
Ears. It came out my ears. Oh,
well, a little further south than that.
Oh, dear. There's an image. 1-800-795-9565. So we would just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I think the Electoral College gives a disproportionate amount of favor to smaller states, and I think if you are a person, you should have a vote. It doesn't matter what state you live in. You're a person, you get a vote. You go through this rubric of a formula that they developed, pure genius at the time, and you come up with a strange way to elect people. You don't elect a governor that way. You don't elect a congressman or a senator.
You used to elect senators that way, but then they went to direct election of senators. Well, I mean, it used to be that the legislature of the state appointed the senators.
They saw the fallacy in it, and so they changed.
But don't you see that this also preserves a little bit more power for the president, and it keeps it as a co-equal branch of the government. Instead of having the president be subservient to the states and the legislature, which is what would happen if we had direct election of the president.
Mm-hmm.
The president would pander to where the votes are. He wouldn't be concerned about being president.
Delaware.
What they tried to do was make sure that the president of the United States was the president of the United States, not the president of California, not the president of New York City, but the president of the United States.
So he needs the whole nation to get elected.
Right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Chris typically waits till the end, but he just can't stand it.
Oh, I call in on a slightly less controversial issue.
Oh, okay. What is open phones? Go right ahead.
Yes. The Electoral College, the Republicans favor new Democratic Congresswoman, Octavia Cortez.
What about
her? She is now in Congress. I think since she was born, the Republicans have won the popular vote once.
Okay.
So Joe makes out like it's not frequent, but they've won the one without the popular vote more often than they've won with the popular vote.
Well, Joe's not saying that the result is fair. He's saying the process is fair. And it favors Republicans, that much is clear.
But it doesn't favor Republicans
it
any more
does.
Than it favors Democrats.
You open it up your head
does,
and pour
Joe.
This in.
Well, you think they've won twice, and their only victories in the last 30 years have been only one with the popular vote.
The second term of George Bush, he won. The first term of George H.W. Bush, he won with a popular vote. Ronald Reagan won with a popular vote twice. Ronald Reagan won with a popular vote twice.
Right. And it usually happens infrequently, but it's happening more frequently now. It must be election change.
Well, there's only been one time recently that it's happened, or twice.
Bush is recently. Come on, you couldn't even remember it because you push it to the back of your mind, just like I couldn't.
No, I remembered it.
I couldn't convince Ben the other day that Republicans hired people to knock on the doors to stop the recount in Florida. He said, well, I never heard of that.
Well, I did hear of, I just didn't recall it. Although when I did recall it, I mentioned it. So I'm not trying to hide it or shove it under the table.
Yeah. You got the wrong president the first time, but what you're saying now is exactly what I said.
All right. But the thing is, this is an eminently fair situation. It does reflect one man, one vote.
It's not fair. It's a way of doing things.
It's a fair way of doing things.
It's a way of doing things.
A fair way.
Just adding the number of Congress people instead of the Congress, instead of just the House members, skews things even more toward the small state.
So does the United States Senate, if you want to start that argument too, which will be the next on the Democratic hit list. Why should the small states have two senators?
Well, you know, it is 20 million people getting two votes and 500,000 people in Wyoming getting two votes.
Well, I realize you know better.
Isn't it?
I realize you know better than the framers of the Constitution who fought long and hard about all of this.
I know you think they all did everything perfect and we should have three-fifths of a person, too, right?
No, I don't think that.
Oh, okay. Then I don't think the others.
That wasn't in the Constitution. That was in subsequent laws. It wasn't in the Constitution.
Three-fifths isn't in the Constitution. Sorry, Joe. You don't know your Constitution.
Yeah, I know
right?
my Constitution.
People never bother learning it.
Look, the bottom line here, we're talking about one thing.
Get to the bottom line.
We're talking about one thing, whether or not the Electoral College is fair.
And I'll tell you why it's bad.
All right, I'm waiting to hear it.
Okay. One reason it's bad is the only states that really matter are the usually about 7 to 12 swing states where they have strong chances of going either way in most elections. There's 7 or 12 swing states. And they get all the attention, and it's those 7 or 12 swing states that actually decide things. And that's ignoring on both sides about 75% of the country. And I see that as a negative. There is only one positive I see to the Electoral College, really. And that's if it's a very close election, and say maybe there's only 1,000 or 100 votes difference between the two candidates, the recount situation would be kind of crazy, because you'd have 50, because the way we were set up, you'd have 50 different electoral commissions all using different recount methods and election gear methods and systems to come to their conclusions of what their state really voted. And it would be like 50 Floridas all going on at once. That is the only really good argument I can see against the popular vote.
And that's a very strong argument against it.
Well, it's an argument against it. It also has a lot of things wrong with it, in that you could... You can win the presidency with a really lopsided popular vote, which is theoretically too. They'd have a chance of doing that, right. And that is not really healthy for the country.
Well, and going back to your other thing on the 3/5, it was only used to determine the population of a state.
Yes.
And that actually was detrimental to the South, because they had a lot more slaves.
Well, they wanted the people who weren't citizens, who were property, to have the right to vote.
But they couldn't vote anyway. The slaves couldn't vote anyway, Chris.
You can't have the right to vote.
So you said they were 3/5 as far as counting the population. It wasn't a measure designed to keep them in further bondage. It was just a way to determine the population of the states.
It was a way to select the number of congressmen that state was included.
And that was to the detriment of the South.
They didn't want to count these people as people. They wanted to count them as property.
Well, the South wanted to count them as people so they could have more power.
Yes, except that they didn't want to treat them as people.
No argument there.
They wanted to treat them as property and count them as people.
As people, yes, I completely agree with you.
The people who were in the North who were against slavery said, no, you can't have the benefit of having slaves in your population total.
Right.
And the only way they could settle it was that compromise. That doesn't mean that compromise was good for either side or slaves or anybody else.
Just but the
compromise between small and large states might not mean that it should last forever. And right now, people travel a lot more between states, so there's a lot less state identity now.
Chris, you're a fair...
People travel all the time between states.
Chris, you're a fair person. Let me ask you this question.
Yes?
Do you think if Hillary Clinton had won the Electoral College vote and Donald Trump had won the popular vote, that the Democrats would be arguing to change the Electoral College?
No, but Donald Trump would be.
The Republicans would be arguing to change the Electoral College without a doubt.
So
if
it's political.
Twice to them in 16 years, you betcha.
It's much needed.
They'd be arguing it for better changing it. And actually, both sides had a lot of support for changing it from time to time. Birch Bayh, that was one of his projects. He got the Constitution changed twice.
So now,
he also supported two other changes, the Equal Rights Amendment and getting rid of the Electoral College.
And do you support Nancy Pelosi's call for 16-year-olds to be allowed to vote?
16-year-olds?
Yeah, she said she supports 16-year-olds voting.
I don't think so.
Well, we found another thing we agree on. Keep going, Chris.
All right, Chris, thank you so much.
What do you agree with me on?
I agreed with you on what the South was attempting to do and that they couldn't have it both ways. And that you asked me what we agreed on. I also agreed that the South didn't treat them as people. They treated them as property.
You both agreed it.
And what do you think that with the population becoming larger here and there and the population being a lot more travel between states than there used to be?
Let's just let it at the fact.
State identity isn't what it used to be.
Let's just let it at the fact we found two things we agree on and have a nice day, Chris.
Oh, you don't want to listen to reason. Then, huh?
I'm more than willing to listen to reason as soon as you give me some.
I give you a lot of reason.
Nothing that dilutes Republican power is going
to
get past him.
One chalk in favor, chalk mark in favor of the Electoral College. And it also has one other negative, is that in a lot of places, states are not, states, the pledge of people aren't pledged to vote for who their states voted for.
And in many fact, they didn't. They didn't.
Really go crazy.
Several.
And another one is what happens if there's not a majority of electoral votes.
Several of Hillary's supporters didn't vote for her, and a couple of Trump's electors didn't vote for him. So they're not bound to vote for the person that they were elected for. It's a matter of conscience.
All right, we got you.
Right,
thank you so much, Chris. Thank you. I'm sorry. I got to cut this off. Thank you for calling in. We're super appreciated. You're welcome to call back during the 9 a.m. hour. Joe is still holding on to the last bastion of Republican power, and that's the Electoral College. Of course, Democrats wisely are choosing a fair method of abolishing the Electoral College. It would take a constitutional convention or a vote to change the Constitution, none of which is going to happen in the decade ahead. So we're going to keep debating it anyway, and we have other topics to discuss as well. You're listening to an Open Phones Wednesday on WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Sander is here as well. It is the 20th day of March 2019. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, text us at 70236, include in the message the word WKOK and then a space, then your message. The easiest thing is just to sign up for WKOK's Text Connect message at WKOK.com. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, as we mentioned, Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks available from the Sunbury Motor Company. They're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. Just go to the Quick Lane or the Great Big Truck Garages, and they'll take care of your vehicle. They got a body shop, alignment shop, car wash, nitrogen shop. You go in there, they pump you up with nitrogen, so you'll be pumped up and your tires will last longer, run cooler, and have less temperature change between winter and summer, and it'll be better for you and for your tires. Everything they can do for you, they could preview at sunburymotors.com. If they don't have the vehicle among the hundreds of pre-owned and new vehicles online, they can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. So check it out, sunburymotors.com, a wonderful place to buy a vehicle. Time to dig deeply into the teen suicide issue in the Valley. Dr. Tim Noster, Executive Director of the McDowell Institute for Teacher Excellence at Bromsburg University, moderated a forum at the Midwest School District last night.
The question becomes, how do we help kids, adults, whomever, become more resilient? And the key to that is really helping them, one, understand what risk factors they have in their own life circumstances, and then, two, helping them navigate how to build protective factors around themselves.
He talked about adverse childhood experiences and trauma that can lead to toxic levels of stress, which can contribute to suicide.
Who they can turn to that's going to be non-judgmental, unconditionally are going to be there for them, and really allow them to, one, kind of share their narrative, and two, validate that, in fact, that is understandably challenging and troubling, and that while I may not have the answer, I'm here for you.
And a helpline is 1-800-222-9016. Jen Jones from the CMSU said dial it.
The one thing I just wanted to make it clear was basically not to be afraid, not to put a stigma to feeling that you need to use that number or even ask for help in general. Just because you call that number does not mean an outcome is going to be automatically a hospitalization. There is somebody there 24/7 to be able to be there as a support and the help.
1-800-222-9016. A Bucknell University professor who was one of two sexual misconduct accusers against TV host Neil deGrasse Tyson says she was part of an investigation, but he's going back on TV anyway. Dr. Caitlin Aller says she did speak with investigators from Fox and National Geographic. Both TV networks say Dr. Tyson should be back on the TV soon. Allers told Pathos.com in December she was touched inappropriately by Tyson during an after party in 2009. The State House of Representatives is voting to make it harder for public officials and government employees convicted of crimes related to their jobs to retain their public pensions. The House voted 194-1 Tuesday to approve the measure. The legislation applies to pension forfeiture law and state and federal felonies and other crimes that could result in at least five years behind bars. And a Western Pennsylvania state lawmaker resigned Monday, 2 months after being stripped of his chairmanship over allegations he had sex with a woman against her will while she was blacked out. State Republican Representative Brian Ellis, who was not charged with any crime, wrote in a letter to the House Speaker that he was quitting immediately. The announcement came about a week after the woman whose work involves the General Assembly filed a complaint about Ellis to the House that said she was cooperating with law enforcement. She said in October of 2015, he'd been out at a piano bar with a friend and then, or she was at a piano bar with a friend and then at a fundraising event for a politician before blacking out. It was after one of those blackouts that she realized she'd been sexually assaulted by Representative Ellis,
who has resigned.
Right. All right.
And, of course, a state law was passed yesterday saying that their pension can be taken away from them if they're found guilty of anything like this.
Right. So end of pension. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea.
All right.
If you do misbehave in office, why should you get paid for it?
It would also forfeit pensions at the time a defendant pleads guilty or no contest or is found guilty by a judge or jury. Current law imposes pension forfeiture when a defendant is sentenced.
Right.
The bill passed the Senate unanimously last month, but was amended by the House, so another vote in the Senate is required for passage. Governor Tom Wolf says he will support it, and it will become a Pennsylvania law very shortly.
It goes back to the Bud Dwyer thing. If that law had been in effect when, Bud Dwyer was first arrested and charged and convicted, but he held on to the last minute and then unfortunately committed suicide.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have open phones today. One of our emailers sends us a note that relates to a discussion we had yesterday about a police officer who is being let go by a school district because he is a member of a white supremacist group. Am I summarizing that fairly close?
That sounds fairly, yes.
Right. So that's that.
And didn't like our comments that, does it necessarily, the fact that you're a white national, or not a white nationalist, but a nationalist, mean that you're automatically a bigot or some sort of a bad person?
One of our listeners sends us a note that relates to the Electoral College.
And we have another one coming in on the Electoral College.
All right.
This one says, the District of Columbia and 48 states have a winner-takes-all rule for the Electoral College. In these states, whichever candidate receives a majority of the popular vote or a plurality of the popular vote, less than 50% but more than any other candidate, takes all of the state's electoral votes. So if my candidate loses by one vote, my preference and the preference of one vote shy of 50% of my state mean nothing. Please don't dwell on the one vote example. Make it 1% if it makes Joe feel better.
All right. It will not. Joe's irritated. We want to get rid of the Electoral College with good reason.
No, I don't want to get rid of it. Go back to that email again.
Oh.
You've cut it off. You're just in such a hurry to prove me wrong that you've destroyed...
I don't need to prove you're wrong.
Okay.
You do that yourself.
So what he says is correct. If a candidate loses by one vote, but there is an argument to modify the Electoral College in that then the state, instead of having a winner take all, would allocate the votes, allocate the electors according to the popular vote. I'd have no problem with that.
Okay, so we're going to try to make it more fair, and it's got a long way to go. Eric, what's your view on this? We're talking about the Electoral College.
Good morning, gentlemen, and I do appreciate the discussion of national topics. But if I may, I'd like to talk about something which is more localized here, and that's the forum that happened last night in Middleburg. Can we talk about that a little bit this morning?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I attended the forum that happened last night in Middleburg to discuss the teen suicide.
All right.
Can we discuss that this morning?
Yep, absolutely. It's open phones, 100% open phones, even though Joe doesn't like it.
Great. And I do appreciate the national topics. I think they're important, but as I've called before, I'm extremely an advocate for our children and youth here in the Valley. And the forum last night, which was attended by over 100 parents, community leaders, faith leaders, talked about many topics that dealt with the suicide epidemic, which we're having across the United States. And this is not just happening in Midwest or Southern Columbia, because they've recently had the more recent suicides. But the statistics presented by the presenter last night were that 1 in 10, now let me repeat that, 1 in 10 teens attempt suicide. And that is an epidemic. That's more than we have opioids. And we're not really talking about that much. And we need to. And one of the biggest factors listed last night in teen suicide attempts is the abuse of alcohol and drugs. And this is my point. What is Pennsylvania thinking about with wanting to make marijuana legal? I was reading the Daily Item this morning. There is advocacy from several groups now not to have it legalized, and there's also a study included in the paper this morning that said, a study over in Britain said those who were using marijuana were 5 or 6 times more likely to develop have a psychotic episode. What are we doing just for the benefit of a certain percentage of adults who want to get high legally to put our children at risk? Because you can't tell me that if we don't make it legal, that it's not going to be more readily available to our children, because it will.
Well, I think the preponderance of people that appear at these meetings doesn't constitute a quorum. You know, most people want marijuana to be legal recreationally. So, I've always approached it from a freedom aspect. There are hundreds of things our kids shouldn't have and do, and we regulate them and we keep them out. You have to be 18 or 21 to drink, and you have to be 18 to, have access to firearm, to buy your own firearm, and those kind of things. We have all kinds of laws. They work fairly effectively to try to help kids. We have a suicide issue that has nothing to do with marijuana or psychosis or, the governor's listening tour. And really, if you read the write-ups of these listening tours, most people speak out against it. And the more professional and informed, medical communities, and Dr. Grizel that we had here from Bucknell University, who is a professor, she says it's not a good idea. Or she says probably not a good idea. She's not definitive on that, but at least not on our show. So I think you're wrong when you say our government's trying to legalize it. I think the government launched a listening tour. I think the governor's listening. I think the legislature's listening. I don't see a lot of momentum towards legalization, I'm advocating for the freedom aspect of it, but, I'm not a doctor, so if people are concerned that, it's so harmful to people, we shouldn't have it.
Well, Eric's got a point. I heard the same story he did this morning, mm-hmm. that the study found that it could lead to hallucinations and other mental problems for young people, so is that... I think what that does is beg the question about taking it off as a Schedule I drug and doing real research into it, comprehensive research, to determine not just a knee-jerk reaction, well, this is bad. Let's find out what good it can do and what bad it can do, and let's find out objectively and then make the decision.
Right. Well, in some ways, it's like the Electoral College. My vote can't count for one full vote. It has to be diluted through a complex formula.
There you go again.
200 years old. It's like, I can't be trusted to have marijuana. I might give it to my teenager. We don't want
that. You might give your teenager alcohol, too, but that's been going on forever.
If Pennsylvania would choose to legalize it, then what I would expect is that we would have then proper legislation in place prior to legalization, that appropriate penalties be in place if someone then is caught selling it or even giving it to our youth.
Well, we have
and
that for alcohol, Eric.
Eric,
we have that for alcohol, and it still happens.
Well, it doesn't mean then we need to, in my mind, we need to up the ante on that. If someone is caught driving intoxicated, it's my understanding that even with the first offense, you spend a weekend in jail. That's my understanding.
Okay.
If someone's caught, selling or giving alcohol, or if we legalize marijuana to anyone under 21, I think the same penalty should be a minimum that they spend at least a little bit of time in jail. That will then make people think. But my position is this, gentlemen. We haven't had legalized marijuana ever. And to put our children at risk just so a few adults can have the luxury of legally getting high, it seems to me very short-sighted and is sending absolutely the wrong message. And that was one of the main messages was last night as well. Kids will model the behavior of their adults around them. And if we have parents getting high, then it's just a matter of time before the kids are getting high. And, right. And no one wants to talk about, we're cracking down on cigarette smoking. Now we're talking about a drug which you have to inhale and keep in your lungs. What about just take out the psycho effects of it, mentally? What about the physical effects and how many people are going to have, developing cancer because the carcinogenic effects of marijuana?
Of the smoke. Okay.
All
right. Noted. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling
in. I appreciate it. Thank you.
1-800-795-9565. We know prohibiting marijuana is keeping out of the hands of kids, so let's keep doing this because it's working so well.
Well, you can make
go to the
same
high school
argument
and buy some pot tomorrow if you want to.
Make the same argument about a kid driving. Kids get into wrecks. They speed. They don't follow the rules. So should we not let them drive till they're 21 or 22? Is that, I don't think there's a good answer to this, to be honest with you.
All right, we got a call coming in. We're going to take a quick break, but first we want to tell you about the hometown pharmacies. That's where you can make sure that absolutely every dollar that you spend locally rattles around in your community and helps your hometown. Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills helps the Mount Pleasant Mills area very much so, and all the local businesses and volunteer fire companies and churches. Is there. Your dollar spent at Trutz Pharmacy in Walnut Street in Mifflinburg helps the Mifflinburg community out. I bet the Mifflinburg Volunteer Fire Department is happy that Trutz Pharmacy is right up the street. The Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street, which is Route 147, very happy that the Norrie Pharmacy is there because that staff and employees and the pharmacy itself support the volunteers, the fire company, St. John's Lutheran Church, among others in town. They're very happy about that. Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop will tell you that dollars spent on Marcus Street in Bloomsburg at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop rattle around in Bloomsburg and help the renovations at the town playground and the local churches and many other St. Luke's Church up on Light Street Road and many other nonprofit organizations and the Consolidated Bloomsburg Fire Department and the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Very happy. They support a number of charitable and nonprofit organizations in and around Lewisburg. You saw them on Raise the Region and they would just love to talk to you about how helping a hometown pharmacy like Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy helps your hometown. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the hometown pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the hometown pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark on the topic of the Electoral College, one of our good, fine local conservatives has spoken.
One of our smarter people.
We got a lot of smart people.
Proof it works. Hillary lost. She had the FBI, DOJ, 99% of the media behind her. The people spoke. Deal with it. And look what the Democrats did. You know, if they want to talk about reform, look at what the Democrats did to Bernie Sanders 4 years ago.
Well, why isn't that indictable?
Well, it should be. I mean, that lady, Donna Brazile, who gave the questions to Hillary that they were going to ask in the debate, you know. Somebody's always got their thumb on the scale or is always trying to put their thumb on the scale. That's why the framers of the Constitution did such a magnificent job of finding a method that keeps the thumb off.
Right. Well, if you want
despicability,
yes.
That's despicable.
look at the Republicans and the Democrats. They're both equal opportunity.
But, you know, we've only had this happen 4 times where the popular vote didn't go to the person.
Really? In the whole history of the U.S.?
In the whole history of the United States.
Wow.
There was Tilden and Rutherford B. Hayes. And really,
who won?
Tilden won the popular vote, but Hayes won the electoral vote. But the Democrats made a deal. And the deal they made was, well, we'll support Hayes if you take the troops out of the South, Reconstruction, effectively ending Reconstruction. Okay. And that's what happened. The next time was Benjamin Harrison and Grover Cleveland, first term. And it was still very, very close. It was very close. But Grover Cleveland won the popular vote, but Harrison won the Electoral College. The next time was George Bush and Al Gore. And then Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
That's it. 4 times.
Good history.
In the history of our republic.
So it's constantly favored Republicans over Democrats, minus that quirk in 2004.
Well, no.
Or
the,
no, I mean in...
The quirk was the Democrats negotiated away the presidency to give it to Hayes.
Well, that's another topic.
Yes, to end Reconstruction.
That's why it favors Republicans more than Democrats. Bill, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Joe's slowly coming around.
No, I'm not.
Our electoral votes were thought out, and they listened to the people when they decided. I mean, it was initially, it was North and South. It wasn't Democrat or Republican. They didn't want South to have the majority and take over, and they didn't want the North to have the majority and take over. At the time, they came up with the Ferris system in whole, and they listened to the small people, was their concerns, and this is what they came up with. Now, if the Democrats are doing anything, they don't care what they do to get in office and stay there. The rules don't apply to them. Immigration, they want everybody to vote. They don't get their way. They want to lower it down to 16. They don't get their way. They want to change the popular vote. They don't get their way. I would love to know what they're going to come up with next. But it was initially set up to be fair between the North and the South and to keep an even playing field across the country.
Well, what they're going to come up with next is they're going to try to abolish the Electoral College. They're going to try and let 16-year-olds vote.
Yeah.
Pack the court.
They don't care about all they do is they don't care about nobody. All they do is want the power. And Trump is 100% American. I mean, he just give him time. What he's doing with these other politicians that are coming in the running have no background in dealing business deals. And Trump is going against the grain. And some politician that looks like an altar boy, that's what they want, somebody to do what they say. This guy, he thinks on his own. He's not good with his tweets. I'll give him that. But listen, he's the bottom line. He's a deal maker, and he's going to make America safe, and he's going to make it great across the board.
He's not good with his what?
His tweets.
Oh,
I mean,
the tweets. Tweets.
The
okay.
Tweets.
Yep. I thought you said cleats.
Listen, the guy does his job. And he's looking out for the American people. Bottom line, how can you go against this man?
Yeah, Mark, how can you?
Well, because he's an immoral buffoon comes to mind, but that's just me.
Listen, he's making your grandkids, your great-grandkids safe. You put the Democrats in, this country is going to be open borders, and 3 or 4 or 5 generations, China, Russia, the Arabics are going to divide the United States up like a pizza pie. all great dynasties are going to come to an end, and it's been proven over history, and this man is fighting for democracy in the American way.
Trying to keep it glued together. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bill. Amen. Appreciate
Thanks,
Bill. The call.
Call again.
1-800-795-9565. Strong words in support of our president, so we appreciate that. We'll take all comers. We are enjoying an open day. We talked about the Electoral College and debated that long and hard, and we can keep doing that. One of our listeners sent us a note that relates to a police officer who was suspended because of his white supremacist views, so we can read that email. Another caller, very concerned about the potentiality for the legalization of marijuana, a bad idea in the caller's view. But one of our emailers says...
And Dave on the Hill says, I heard an argument against growing this. I hadn't heard before. It requires lots of water and fertilizers to raise these plants. This would endanger the environment.
Hmm.
Except that I can tell you that the growing plants have a lot of regulations they have to meet, including...
For the medical marijuana.
Right. So it's not just they're dumping stuff out, and they're growing it in a field and dumping fertilizer on it.
Interesting.
These are in controlled environments inside buildings.
What's the carbon footprint of medical marijuana?
Well, I think probably the growing lights must generate a lot of need for electricity.
Well, it depends on how the electricity is generated then. But some growing operations make use of natural daylight. Not so many in Pennsylvania, but elsewhere in the U.S. So, yeah, good question. Yeah, the environmental impact of growing more pot. That's not a bad question. To be continued.
Is that different than growing more wheat or growing more soybeans or more corn?
Well, no, the only thing we really talk about that we grow that has a big environmental impact is beef. That seems to have been brought up lately. It's been known for years, you know.
You and Cory Booker trying to take away my hamburger.
No.
Ain't going to work, buddy.
Joe's telling an untruth again. Just because you're Republican doesn't mean you can lie all the time. This is an opportunity for you to say that I love beef. Fisher's Meats, St. John Street, Lewisburg. Cut down on red meat so you can give it to me.
I love meat.
Thank you. All right, we got that out of the way. We got a bunch of meat eaters. All right, we
carnivores.
We talked about this good email, so let's read this. Joe, make sure you pre-read this.
Yeah, I have pre-read it, and I can't read the second paragraph. Maybe we can find a way to do it.
Well, it has the
words yourself.
N-word in it and some other word.
Right. It says, while I was driving today, I heard you discuss the law enforcement officer in a school who was in trouble for being a member of a, quote, white supremacist group, unquote. Actually, he was accused of being in a nationalist group, wasn't he?
Right. Well, I'll read the item. Let's do this. This is from AP. It says, a Virginia police officer has been removed as a school resource officer and suspended from the police department amid allegations he's a member of a white nationalist group. The Chesterfield County Police Department said yesterday the officer was suspended pending a recommendation for termination from the police chief. Neither the department nor the police chief named the officer. The department's Office of Professional Standards is investigating. Under Virginia law, the department must notify an officer in writing. Okay, well, that's the firing process.
Right.
And that's all AP says about it. Doesn't say what member he's a group or what group he's a member of.
Right. Well,
and what he does about it.
Knows. But anyhow, he says, while I was driving today, I heard you discuss the law enforcement officer in a school who was in trouble for being a member of, in this gentleman's opinion, a white supremacist group, Evropa, and very possibly a neo-Nazi. Your banner, there was nothing in the story that suggested either of those things, was there? No, okay. Your banner suggested that you saw nothing wrong with his being a member and a cop. You implied that his free speech was being infringed upon. One of the Evropa post site goes, I worked in HR firing blank and blank all day long. Those are nasty references to people who are black and Hispanic. Before that, I was in the Army, and I got to kill Muslims for fun. I'm not sure which one was better, watching the blank and the blank cry because they can't feed their little mud children or watching Muslims' brain spray on the wall. Honestly, both probably suck compared to listening to a Jewish person, in a defensive word for that, scream while in the oven. Signed, Eli Mosley. On the War Room, I couldn't find anything about this except that this Mosley guy, it's not his real name, and that he did it on the War Room, not on this website, and the people at Evropa have disavowed him and disavowed, they're trying to bring themselves more into the mainstream, according to the websites I saw.
And Evropa.
And that was a Southern Poverty Law Center site. In fact, I printed that out and sent it to you.
Right, and this Evropa is a white heritage group,
right,
hearkening to our European heritage.
When our writer goes on to say, do you support this type of rhetoric? Do you think someone who associates with such people is a good person? Do you think they are fair and impartial in dealing with minorities? Would you be so nonchalant if the cop were a member of a black or Muslim supremacy group that wanted to reduce the number of whites in the U.S.? What if they espouse these views to students in school? What if the cop posted or shared a message calling for whites to be killed? Where do you draw the line? I await your response. Signed, John. John, the cop didn't do any of those things. He didn't call, you know, and as far as associating with this guy, he didn't associate with him. The guy posted something on a website that this man may or may not agree with. I belong to Facebook, and a lot of people who are friends of mine post things I don't agree with, but that doesn't mean I'm tarred with that brush, does it?
No, and I understand what the man is saying, that if you had a person who was a devout white supremacist and you have him in the school as an employee, as a police officer, of course he's going to come up with the opportunity to provide law enforcement, shall we say, or discipline to everybody in the school of every background and race and so on. But there's not a molecule of evidence anywhere that he didn't do that to his best of ability, objectively, and in a good way. There's no indication that he did it in a bad way either. I'm just saying, John, you're reading a lot more into this than we said. And so the story specifically says he was fired or he's suspended for being a member. So if I, in my own personal life, join an organization, should you be fired just because you joined an organization? He didn't do anything that relates to bad behavior. He just joined something. So I don't like white supremacist group. I don't think he should join it, but to make it illegal to join it doesn't seem right to me.
Well, if there's a group that's supporting Muslim heritage or black heritage, is that wrong? I mean, you know, I've never heard anybody call the program disavow that, but if you belong to a group that supports white heritage, all of a sudden you're a racist and you're a bigot. I don't understand that. You can be proud of what your race is. You can be proud of your heritage. And you can choose to belong to a group that supports that and wants to promote it. But that doesn't make you a bad person, per se, whether you're black, Muslim, Italian-American, Irish-American, or anything else.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 might be the last word on growing marijuana. Marijuana to soybeans, everything grows better in cow manure. It doesn't matter what it is.
I don't think I want to be the one that cleans it off.
All right.
So we have two calls.
All right. Dan from New Berlin talking about the Electoral College. Of course, Dan favors the Electoral College because he's a Republican and likes President Trump and wants to make sure that votes are never fair again.
Well, you've summarized Dan's call, so there's no need to take it, right?
Well, he has actual reasons, so
I can hang up now. but I tell you why I know the Electoral College worked is because of your one emailer said Trump was hated by everybody. They thought he was unworthy to be president of the United States, but yet people out here in red country were voted for Trump, and he won the election in spite of the establishment of everyone being against him. As that person said, the media was against Trump, still are, fighting him tooth and nail. Most Republicans are against Trump, and practically all Democrats are against Trump, but yet he's our president because I call him the people's president. Back years ago, my friend, I talked to several people. We were tired of the establishment always winning. And I predicted the last election, we were talking 4 or 5 years prior to the election before Trump was in the race. I said, it's either going to be another Bush or Clinton. I thought the establishment would win, and we all of us agreed, and you know, it proved that my vote out here counts for president, and that's why I like the Electoral College. California didn't win, the people won, so that's why I really favor the Electoral College. It proved itself. We have the people's president working for the American people, not for California.
Now, would
and not,
you,
yes.
Would you say that if Hillary won and President Trump had the popular vote?
Hypothetically, I don't know, Mark. I can't.
I think I know.
You put me on the spot, Mark, and I hope I'd be right, but who knows?
Right, we got
you. You know, but I just, all I can say is that we won this when people like me that said, we're always going to, I said, years, I said, we're always going to have an establishment president. The, what I think don't count. But I was wrong. Glad to be wrong. We do have an outside establishment president, and I don't know why some of the year anti-Trump calls. I do not understand why they're so opposed to Trump when he's doing legislation and doing things that favor them as well as me. It's not just all for the people that voted for him, but it's the anti-Trump sentiment propagated by the left-wing news media that keeps that alive with right. investigation after investigation after investigation.
All right, noted, Dan. Thank you very
much.
All
right, you guys have a good day. Good
you too.
Talk
Take
with
care.
You.
Yep, good to talk to you, Dan.
Keep
Thanks.
The Electoral College.
Noted. Paul, you're on the mark.
Joe, correct me if I am wrong.
Okay, you're wrong.
Go ahead. Wrong foot.
Okay, but back in the 1930s, Germany, Japan, and Italy signed a treaty that if either one of those countries were attacked, or that if the United States got involved with the prevention of taking over most of Europe, that they would attack, and World War II would be the major war.
Well, not quite right. The pact called for them to come to each other's aid only if they were attacked by a third party. Hitler did not have to declare war on the United States after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. It wasn't part of their agreement. The Axis agreement didn't call for that.
Oh, okay. Well, I just read an article in a paper that said that Pennsylvania has just called up the National Guards or the Reserves to send them overseas for the prevention of an invasion. And I think it was in Poland.
I thought they were going there for maneuvers and for some
NATO.
Kind of NATO exercise.
Yeah, it's not. It's not to
okay,
prevent an invasion.
Well, we call it maneuvers, but it actually could be a much more serious intention, because after the attack on the United States, it went from being a war, and then the Cold War, it became a spy war. So let's keep an eye on this to find out what their intentions are as to whether or not if it's going to be an act of aggression.
All right, we got you. Thank
Good
you
point.
So much, Paul. Appreciate that. Cindy, we're talking about the Electoral College.
Hey, I'm willing to modify the Electoral College in exchange for another compromise that we get recall on federal elections.
How would that, what kind of mechanism would you be looking for there, Cindy?
And for what people don't understand, recall means we get to run an election in between elections. People can pass a petition and they can fire a representative, a senator, or the president. We could do that. The people could. California, for example, did this. They fired their governor through a recall vote. Of course, the laws that govern federal elections don't necessarily govern state elections, but I'd be willing to make that compromise. People circulate a petition, let's say equal to the number of signatures that you needed to get on the ballot in the first place. And then from there, a special election would be held that would and we could vote out whoever's in the office that we don't like.
What would you give up under the Electoral College? What would you be willing to throw away of that in order to get this?
Winner gets all. I think there's a lot of sound thinking to dividing the electoral votes out of any state based on the votes that the person wins in the election. I believe that's fair.
I'm afraid I got a little lost in the woods there. Are you with her on this one, Mark?
No. Re-explain what the compromise for the Electoral College.
Right now, many states have winner takes all. So whichever person wins the election in that state gets all the electoral votes.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's pretend, I don't know the exact number, but let's say that Pennsylvania has 20, right? They get all 20. But in a compromise, it could be that I'm suggesting, let's say that the person wins, but and then by percentage of the votes they get, that's how the electoral votes are awarded in D.C.
Some states do that, yes, okay.
So I'm just saying, let's make that the case across the country instead of having differences from one state to another. I would be willing to do that. I think that's fair-minded. It gives the people a greater voice. Mm-hmm. Those people in a state who vote and choose, for example, Trump, well, those Democrats were silenced in the national election then. Pennsylvania went for him, right? So let's say that it was that we have 20. Again, I'm not sure that's the number. I'm sure someone's looking it up. Then let's say that 6 of those 20 votes go to the loser and 14 go to the winner, whatever the proportion was in the election.
Be interesting
that
to
would
see.
Actually could make a change in the outcome of an election. And it would continue to force these people, the people running for office, to go to different states instead of making it just campaigning in 10 top states, and that's it.
Well,
of course,
it could have enough.
I always think of that in a kind of perverse thing, because when they come to town, the costs on the local communities are horrendous, and the traffic's tied up, and the airports are shut down. And so you have to ask yourself, do you really want them to come to your state? But I think it would force their policy thinking to be much broader than catering to 10 states. They'd have to think about what's best for all of Americans, not just the ones that they hope will vote to get them elected.
Has anybody gone back and applied your idea to the last election to see how it, or if it would have changed the result?
Oh, I don't know, Joe. I'm just thinking myself. Well, I know I haven't done the math.
Well, let's look at it this way. California has a large number, 40, 43 electoral votes, somewhere in that neck of the woods. So Hillary Clinton got all of them. But if they apportioned it, Donald Trump might come away with 15 out of that group.
Yeah, well, uh-huh. Right. It would force, I want these people to be accountable to us, not to their political party. Right now, the way Washington, D.C. works is that the candidates are, they come out and, wave their flags in our faces and get our vote and then turn their backs on us. And their loyalty appears to be largely to the party, not to the state, not to the people who elected them. And it remains that way until they run for office. And all of a sudden, oh boy, they're so concerned about us, right up until they get elected and they go in and they vote for the party, not for the people. So if this system, it seems to me, with recall as our method of accountability, we should be able to fire these people. It's bizarre to me that we can't. In England, they can fire the prime minister, and she's looking at it right now, right? In California, they can fire the governor, and they have. And, well, they should be able to. Why can't we fire these people when they fail to represent our needs, our beliefs?
Well, and I think a lot of people now are talking about this national popular vote interstate compact idea that's out there, that however the popular vote goes in the election, certain number of states will agree to be part of a compact that no matter how the popular vote goes, that's how they'll send all of their electors to the Electoral College so that they can, so that the popular vote has the power to win again. Even though we haven't changed the Electoral College or the Constitution, this other compact is deciding how the electors will actually vote when it goes for them to cast their vote for president. So,
of course, there's a little rub there, Mark, which is, as I think was earlier mentioned, that these electors, there's something called a faithless elector. So the state decides to vote for Cindy, but this person goes down and votes for Mark instead.
Well, they'd have to agree not to do that, but of course there's a pariah in every group, so they would
there's
go
no
that way.
There's no accountability to these people for failing to do that, except they won't get to be an elector the next time.
Right.
And where does that spring from? I think more party loyalty than actually acts of conscience, I would say.
Guess what, Cindy? Somebody actually did go back and look at the 2016 election based on what you suggested. And the gentleman says, I calculated the vote allocation using the Webster St. Laureau method based on results from the November 9th, 2016, applied to each individual state. And under that, Clinton would have won with 263 electoral votes, but Trump had 262, Johnson 10, Stein 2, and McMullen 1. But then he said, in the spirit of the Electoral College, to give less populous states a boost in the vote, I altered the formula to award two votes per state to the winner of the popular vote of that state, and the remainder allocated via the method I talked about.
Proportionality.
Right. After that, doing it that way, Trump would have won with 269 to Clinton's 259.
And, you know, doesn't this really reflect what's become of our country, that this disparate thinking and how divided we are?
All right, it does.
And that isn't a good thing, I think.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thanks,
really
Cindy.
Appreciate
Take
the
care.
Call. Stand by, Charlie. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Charlie. Thank you so much for waiting all that time. You are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think abolishing the Electoral College is a very bad idea. What I would like to see happen, though, is I would like to see each congressional district get one vote. That's it.
Each congressional district get one vote. But isn't that
right.
What happens? Every congressional district elects an elector, and that elector votes for the president. I submit to you that's what we have.
Yeah, but the elector can vote they want.
I would say that we don't have that because the electorals, you know, Pennsylvania, whatever number of electorates we have all vote for the same candidate. They don't have the option.
Right, okay. I see what you're saying. All right. You're making the same argument Cindy did, that it should be distributed proportionately to the popular vote.
Well, not quite.
Oh.
It's very close, and I like her idea, and I've heard that before, and I would rather see that than what we have now. But if we do it just by the congressional district, then our congressional district, whoever wins in our district, that candidate gets that vote.
Okay.
It's not a proportion across the state.
And they're
so
bound to that?
Yeah, you know, the proportion statewide, it could be, for example, Trump gets 51%, Clinton gets 48%. That means if we do it statewide, then the electorals are 51% to 48%. But it could be the case that Trump would win every congressional district with that percentage. So then it would still be all or nothing. So it's just one district, each gets their own individual vote.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I'm trying to think how different that would be than just strictly apportioning it. You know, it might be substantially different, but let's say, I think it would be closer. Philadelphia, let's say all of their, 7 or 8 congressmen, all would be Democratic, all would go Democratic. The rest of the state, the T here, would be Republican, fewer seats. So, I mean, I think that would tend to favor urban areas over suburban areas.
See, I don't think so, because, you know, Philadelphia would, whatever congressional district, if there's two congressional districts in Philly, they get two votes. Our area gets one vote.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens in Philly or Pittsburgh.
Gee, I think we're going to have to go back and look at the last election and see what the net effect of that would be. That's, you know, maybe because I haven't heard that one before, I haven't thought about it, but it's on the surface, it would seem to be the same as just doing apportionment, but you may be onto something. It may not be the same.
Yeah, I think it could. I mean, the results could end up being the same, but it's unlikely that they would, I think. Again, you know, if it's 51-48 and we did the apportionment, that would mean that Trump and Clinton would essentially get half the votes each. But if we did it just by congressional district, the way it worked out last election would probably be, you know, three or four votes for Clinton, and the rest would go to Trump, because each individual district had predominantly a Trump win.
Very interesting. Okay.
All right, we got you.
Give us something to think about. Sorry you took a wrong turn there somewhere.
We heard your brain recalculating.
Right. That's why I can't talk. Why I would have texted you if I wasn't driving. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's all good.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate
have a good
that.
Day.
Yep, thank you. All right, Charlie on the road recalculating. We appreciate that. Yeah, coming up with a system where each electoral vote is based in proportion to one congressional district gets one vote, then you send them to Washington. But why does that not just favor California? They have 92 electoral, 60 electoral votes.
But it's still based on the number of people that represent a congressman. In other words, I forget what it is, 450,000, something like that sticks in my head. I may be right, I may be wrong. But, you know, so that's the number of congressmen you have depends on the population. And each congressional district is part of the state. So our last caller's idea was that for every congressional district, that would be one vote. Every congressional district one would be one electoral vote for that candidate.
Well, then President Trump's win would have been a landslide and would have matched the popular vote. No, that wouldn't be true.
We have to think this one out and can take it up again tomorrow.
Well, no, that's true, but Hillary could win every single soul in California, and that would give her a disproportionate number out there, but then everybody else, well, to be continued. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.